You know, one of the challenges of being one place for a long time is people remember what you've said and can go back years and bring that back up. And I appreciate Martha just reminding me that she's been listening through the years. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful I don't have to go and take it back, that it's still true. Right? Joy in the dust. You know, don't forget to keep God center, right? Keep him in the center. Well, you've got your life point outlines in front of you. They're in the chair in front of you. Hope that you'll pick those up. Again, we're excited to have all of you that are watching online. It's just great to have you joining in with us here. And I hope that you will give a shout out to us. Let me know that you're listening. Let us know when you agree with something that is said. You can ask questions. We'd love that while we are in the Word of God. I want to start this morning. I think that it would be a true saying for all of us to say that we have been in a lot of different emotional areas since Wednesday of this week. Never in our lifetime have we seen anything happen where the United States Capitol was assaulted. And it was such a grief. I'm grieved that one of the young police officers there for the Capitol, Brian Sicknick, died from that. That is a grief. Amen? Amen. That is a grief for that to take place. One of the fine young ladies that was there in support of our president lost her life as well. And so that was a sad, sad thing. And mob violence is not the way of God's people. That does not reflect who we are as children of the Lord. And it was not a picture of democracy in the way that it should be. Violence is not the answer among our people. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not adhere to that. And so we do, however, have issues that need to be handled. The credibility of our voting process and our assurance in that it is fair and it is right, that needs to be restored. We need to have that answered. There needs to be no question whatsoever that the voting that was done was legitimate and legal, and none of it was bought. So there are some questions. Our leaders need to work that out. And it all goes back to what our fathers told us in the Word. In the book of Romans, the Lord says, you are to pray for those in authority. We have to have authority, right? We have to have authority. And that was lawlessness. And I don't believe it reflected the group that was gathered there. That wasn't everybody. And so we don't hold to that. But we need to pray for our leadership. And that's the first thing that I want us to do in just a moment. I want us to pray for the leadership. Like it or not, it doesn't matter where you are, Mr. Biden will be our president. That's done, like it or not. And it is our way that we begin to pray for the president of the United States. Why? Because God says that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we do. That's what Romans teaches us. You are to pray for those in authority over you. And so it doesn't matter how you voted. If we're honoring God, we begin to pray for that. And we pray that God will have his heart. Amen? That, Lord, have the president's heart. Grab a hold of the vice president's heart. Grab a hold of leadership. Lord, we want you leading and directing them. That's where we need. All this is just reaffirmed in us the need for prayer. So we want to pray for our leaders. We want to pray that truth will prevail and that we can get nationally some answers to the things that are dividing us and splitting us apart. And ladies and gentlemen, number three, we need men and women who are chasing after the Lord to be in leadership in America. We need that. We are a democracy here, and we need men and women, Christians, who are salt and light. And it is very possible, if not probable, God is calling more to get into the fray and to begin to offer godly leadership than are answering. And we need to pray that locally and nationally, that men and women will surrender to get involved in the political process. We need them in Washington, D.C. And I hope all of us can agree with that. Biblically, Daniel influenced the decisions of government in his day. God had him planted. And you realize it was through Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar came to have a relationship with the Lord. From what I understand in Scripture, I believe we will see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven one day. He praised the God of heaven and acknowledged him after going through what he went through. We are connected to the God who is God, and we need to pray to him that our God will become active in America and will bring our nation together so that we can be the light that she's been all these last decades. So would you stand together with me as we go to our Father in prayer? Heavenly Father, we have so many emotions that are going on inside of us. We have trembled, Father, for our country. We saw things on television that we've never seen in our lifetime like that. To see an assault on the Capitol building of the United States of America. To realize, Father, how deep we are a divided people. And for us to feel like we don't know how we will get through, how we will ever come back together. But a nation divided will fall. And our enemies look for that. They are gleeful over that. And so, Father, we look to you, our eyes turn toward heaven. Lord, that you will forgive us of our sin. You said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And Father, we need you to heal America, but that comes about by us being a confessional people. That we confess our sin, we confess our wrath against lost people, when we are to be crying for their salvation. We are to cry out to you, we are to be on our face for men and women to be saved. We are not to hate wicked people, we are to pray for their souls. Father, cleanse us of wrath as your people. Help us to be your church in a dark land that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. God, may your word today speak clearly to us. And may Harmony Hill do what she has done for decades, and that is answer your call to be a light for Jesus Christ in this community and wherever you would send our people. And we'll thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Thank you all so very much. All right, Martha has read the passage for us this morning. And what I want to do in this series about being all in, I want us to think about five things that God is doing in the coronavirus. It's been some time for me just thinking about that and, you know, getting my mind around that and everything that it has meant. And I think from the viewpoint of us being all in, it is good for us to understand what the Lord is doing in these days, because this enables us and equips us when we're out among people, wherever we may be, to be able to speak truth into them. And so the question that we keep asking ourselves day in and day out is, are you and I all in on the mission of God? And that's not a question that I answer once in my life. It is a question that I repeatedly keep asking and answering as I'm going through the years and the decades of my existence. I keep asking that. Am I still all in? I was all in. It was all about that when I was 22? Am I still all in at 70? I have to keep asking that question, and it doesn't change. It doesn't matter what my age is. The question is still needed to be asked. Are you all in for what I want to do? The reason God was able to use Daniel in his old age, the reason he went through so many administrations there in Babylon, was because Daniel was always all in. He never got swallowed by the world that was around him. And he lived in the midst of ungodliness for decades of his life. And yet he was always all in. And so what God says, I want you to understand, as my sons and my daughters, in every generation, my people have a special role. You and I've got a special role. That's why God has us here. And it is one that our Father is the one who makes us sufficient for it. I'm not sufficient for these days. These are days I've never been in before, just like you. And I ask myself, Lord, how am I going to do this? This is a track I've never been down before. We've never faced issues like we're facing. But the Father says, I created you for this time. Amen? We're created for these days. He is the one who ordered our birth and the time that you are and I are in. And God will make us sufficient that you and I will pray for the people in authority. When you want to know about what we need to be praying about, you pray for the people that are in authority. And like Daniel, we are to be influencers of those in national leadership, that we pray for God to speak to their heart, that we pray for their souls to be turned. And you and I pray for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. America needs that now more than ever. Would you agree with that? We need the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were great health crises in the early days of the church in the Roman Empire. And the early church's commitment to the gospel in those times like that really shone forth. When you go back and you read what the early church did, there were periods in those early days, the Bible doesn't speak specifically about, but history records, where there were great health crises like what we're going through now. And what ministered, what touched the world, that they began to notice Christianity, was how God's people were fearless and dedicated to taking care of the sick. Who is it started hospitals? It was believers. It was God's people. They're the ones who launched the whole hospital idea. It started with them. And so they cared for people. They would labor for the souls of men who were perishing. When others would put their sick people out on doorsteps or would leave them, Christians would come along and they would begin to take care of them. And those actions won for God's people praise. Listen to Acts 17, verse 6. It's not only because of what they were doing then, but what they were doing in those days for the sick. It said, these men and women have turned the world upside down. And what I'm simply saying is, that's what God is wanting to be said about His church in this day. These are the days when we shine. These are the days when the church shows the world what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Look at your core statement in your life point outline. We are in upside down times, and we must get our eyes, listen, off of fear and worry and anger and wrangling, and get our focus on the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel shines brightest when men fear for their souls and their face in eternity. This is our opportunity. When people are afraid of dying, would you agree that's what we're facing? Huh? Amen. People are absolutely terrified. So many people are fearful. And I want to be clear, I've not chosen this text because I think the coronavirus is the sign that Jesus is right now at the door. But our Lord was clear about this to the disciples. This is what He said, Acts 1, verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has put in His own power. Matthew 24, 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly, Paul said, after listening to Jesus, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So we don't really know exactly when Jesus is going to come, right? But what we do know is that he is going to come, and his coming is soon. Look at the inside. Jesus says that the Father God uses things like COVID to wake the world up to two things: how fragile life is and the reality of divine judgment. That is the message of the church. That is what you and I carry. That is the message of these days. What is it that people need to understand? Life is fragile. And that's what this whole disease is showing us. That people die unexpectedly of all kinds of ages. And these days speak to how far our nation is from God and how desperate America needs to have a fresh emphasis on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. COVID-19 has rocked our world, and it has rocked the world all the way around this globe. COVID-19 is, according to our text, this is what I want you to see. COVID-19 is a birth pain. And you know and understand, at this stage in our life, birth pains don't tell you when the baby is coming, right? They don't give you the exact hour, but they tell you that the birth is imminent, that it could happen at any time. And so what God is saying is, you remember, church, do not forget, the second coming of the Lord is imminent. That's what these days are designed to do. Look at the truth in your outline. As the time of Christ's judgment draws near, we can expect things like COVID to only increase. John Piper, in the last 10 months, believe it or not, during all of this, wrote and published a book. And the book is entitled The Coronavirus and Christ. It's a short book, not long at all. It doesn't take a whole lot of time to read it. He outlines six things, and I'm going to use some of his points for the message today because I think they are spot on, and I want to build on that. And now somebody listening might be thinking, and maybe out there you're watching this morning and you've tuned in with us, how in the world can any of us claim to know what God is doing? It's a fair question. I mean, how can I claim that I know what the Lord is doing? Well, Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says this: how unsearchable are your judgments, Lord, and inscrutable your ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Now, that word inscrutable, what does it mean? What did Paul mean? Paul says that the ways of the Lord are unable to be known on our own. I don't have any idea what God is doing on my own. Why? Because his ways are unable to be known. So how can I claim to say that what is happening with COVID is God working in these days? The reason is because our Lord isn't silent about what he's doing in the world. I don't always know what he's doing, so God tells us what he's doing. One of the primary purposes of God's word, the Bible, is to help us understand God's purposes. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says that by getting into God's word, we can gain insight into the mysteries of what God is doing in this world. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 2. It says that trials test our faith. So what we go through, the tough times for believers, are exams. Now, I wouldn't know that if God didn't tell me, but he told me that in the word. So God says the tough times that I go through as a child of his or a son of his are times where God is examining me. And so these days are, for me, a time where God examines, John, what have you learned? What have you learned in your walk with me? Where do you still need to be taught? That's what God wants me to get out of this. That's what he wants you to understand. What do you see what God is doing? How are you doing in handling these tough times? Are you trusting Him? Have you learned to trust Him? Romans 5, verse 1 says that suffering produces endurance. When I learn to trust God in these COVID days, what does that do for me? It gets me ready for whatever else is coming. I have learned in fresh ways to trust Him. That's what I've sought to get across to us. But these are not days for us to be afraid. Why? Because we've got a Father in heaven, right? Amen. We've got a Father. And what is going on in the world, our God is watching over all of this. And that's what our Father wants us to understand. We trust God in COVID days, and that readies us for what's coming. Each time we go through something like this, that gets us ready for the next thing that's coming. Why? Because, listen, things are going to keep on coming. Why? Because God is seeking to get the attention of the world. God is reaching out to lost people, seeking to get them to think about eternity. And in the midst of all that, that God is seeking to get their attention, He is saying, "My people, will you learn to trust me in these days? Will you learn to trust me? Will you walk with me and be what I want you to be?" As our world gets further away from God, their sin is going to produce more and more consequences. We're going to see more and more things happen. God says, understand that. It doesn't mean I hate you. It doesn't mean I'm angry with you. It doesn't mean I have left you. I'm simply telling you, the world is getting further from me, and I am going to begin ramping up, seeking to get their attention. Luke 12, 56, Jesus said, "You hypocrites." See, the Lord says, the world ought to be able to look at what's going on and know that I'm seeking to get their attention. And that's what the Lord said. Jesus in Luke 12, 56, "You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" You know, that was the whole thing. You know, red sky in morning, sailors what? Take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight. Jesus said, you understand that. He said, why do you not understand when you see what's happening in the world that I am seeking to get your attention? That all of this is happening because there is a holy God seeking to reach out to you. Okay, so there are these five things I want to hit right quick that I want you to get in your heart and I want you to take with you today. All right, number one, these are what God is doing. Piper gave these, and I'm taking those points and I want to build on it. All right, number one, God is giving a physical picture of the moral horror of sin. In other words, all this is about is showing us, first of all, how really bad sin is. Look at the truth in your outline. All suffering is because of sin. God, that ought to be on our minds like so real. In the beginning of our world, God created the heavens and the earth. And when He created everything, God looked at it and He saw that it was what?
Very good.
It was good. God said, it's good. It's very good. You know what that meant? It meant there's no coronavirus. There was no coronavirus in God's original world. And God said, it is good. So that teaches us something. Look at the truth. Sin is the reason for disease and death in our world. God said, that needs to be part of what you teach other people. Sin brings about death and disease and destruction. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 that because of sin, he said, the curse of death passed to all men. It doesn't mean that everybody who dies died because they had done something sinful. It simply means our people, you and I, our family, our loved ones, our friends are dying because the curse of sin is on all of us. And because of that, we have to face death. Romans 8:20, creation itself was subjected, listen, number one, to futility. What's futility? Two steps forward, four steps back. Isn't that the world we live in? It doesn't matter how hard you try. Two steps forward, and it gets all screwed up and you wind up having to go backwards, right? It's just futility. Doesn't matter how many weeds you pull out of the flower bed, it still comes back, right? Futility, not willingly. We long to be set free. Listen, number two, to the bondage of corruption. Our bodies corrupt. The world corrupts. groaning together in the pains of childbirth. Notice those three words: futility, the bondage to corruption, and groaning. You know what? Those are descriptive images of global devastation and misery. That's what God is talking about. It's what we've been going through the last 11 months. This year, we had, or rather in 2020, we had disasters in weather. I didn't realize we could have that many hurricanes. And it was like Louisiana was on the map, wasn't it? Everything was headed through there. It was unreal. We have had disasters in pandemics, disasters in the daily lives of people. It is all because of the rebellion of man. God wants us to understand that. That is how serious it is. No matter how much we learn how to overcome disease, there will always be another one to take its place. That is the futility of our lives. It is the consequence of sin. And there will always be another disease that will take more lives, bring more loss and misery, and it's all because of what? This is where you answer. It's all because of sin. It's all because of sin. None of us this morning realizes, I just thought, none of us realize the true ugliness of sin. You and I sin, but we don't think that it's that bad. People say things like, I need to be a better person. Really? You need to be a better person. Wow. Well, that's nice. You know, in other words, I just need to improve a little. I'm not perfect, but you know, I'm not that bad. Really? Amazing. Totally clueless, it seems like, to what God teaches in the Word. You know, God will forgive me. That's the mantra of people. The truth in your outline: mankind's sin against God is a deadly, serious thing. And nothing screams that to us like physical suffering. Beloved, that is the message of the coronavirus. That is the message of the plagues that have hit the world in the centuries gone by. Listen to what Piper said. He said, hardly anyone in the world feels the horror of preferring other things over God. Who loses any sleep over our daily belittling of God by neglect and our defiance? But oh, how we feel our physical pain. How indignant we become if God touches our bodies. Isn't that the truth? We just get angry. We get angry that we're sick. We get angry that we can't do what we want to do. I've noticed that lately. That's one of the things I've had to fight. I want to go on record and say, I hate getting older. Note that down. I don't enjoy it at all. I guess I ought to get a free ride on that. So we get indignant because if God touches our bodies, physical pain is God's trumpet blast to tell us that something is dreadfully wrong in the world. Here's the insight in your outline. Whenever you or I suffer physically, we need to be reminded this is because of sin. It doesn't mean I'm going through what I'm going through because I've done something wrong. That's not the point. But the point is, my body and your body is subject to death and disease. It's part of the fall. It's part of the fall. So when we can't do certain things because our body doesn't work right, it's not that you get angry with God. God is simply saying, do you understand? That's part of the fall. That's man's malady. COVID-19 is a picture of how bad sin is. That's the message. It is a picture of how ugly and offensive our neglect of God is. It is God getting our attention. It is a lesson in how hideous our casual treatment of the commands of God is. How outrageous it is that we give less attention to God every day than we do to fixing our hair or the clothes that we wear or the food we eat. We spend way more time on that than we do focusing on Him. And COVID reminds us of how sinful we are at times by not acknowledging Him. Number two, the coronavirus is a wake-up call to be ready for the return of the Lord. History is littered with false predictions about the world. Do you remember about 30 years ago? Well, some of you won't. Some of you will. About 30 years ago, you remember the little book that came out, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. You remember that? I'd forgotten all about that. The guy was a NASA scientist. I mean, the guy was intelligent, and he was a believer. And he came out and he said, sometime between September the 11th and September the 13th of 1988, Jesus is going to return. We're still here. We're still here. And so he, you know, not to be stopped, even though the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man returns. He was back the next year, and he had another little book out, and it was 89 reasons why Jesus is going to return in 1989. Not to be undone. And he said, I got it all wrong. I was looking at the Gregorian calendar and I should have been looking at the Hebrew calendar. It doesn't matter what calendar you look at. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming. The Bible says he's going to come in as a thief in the night. You know, there's not any thief that sends you a note and says, hey, I'm going to be at your house, you know, day after tomorrow, somewhere between 1 and 3 a.m. I'll text you when I'm on my way. You know, that's not going to happen, right? And he said, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. You're not going to know when Jesus is going to return. But he does say, behold, I come quickly. When I come, it's going to be quick, and I'll take my people out to be with me. Number three, the coronavirus is God's thunderclap to realign our lives with the infinite worth of Christ. What I want you to remember, what I want to think about, Luke chapter 13. You go back and you read that a little bit later on. In Luke chapter 13, it was Christ, and he was talking to the disciples, and they were talking about there was a tower that fell on a group of 18 people, and all 18 people died. And what the people were asking the Lord was, did these 18 die, which was kind of a freak deal, did they die because they were worse sinners than other people? Is that the reason this bad thing happened to them? In other words, if somebody's in a terrible accident and they get killed, was that because that they had been sinning? Somebody's house burns down and they burn down. Is it because they had been sinning? And Jesus said to them, he said, no, I tell you that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And the insight in your outline, Jesus said, the disaster wasn't meant to be a message for those who died. It is a message for those who are still living, for those who haven't died. He said, it is a message for you and me. God is even saying people of all ages are dying of the coronavirus, right? That's the message. That's the message. You know, people are saying today, well, you know, it's just bad for old people. No, it's not. The coronavirus is deadly. There are a lot of people, it's nothing more than maybe a bad cold, maybe just a few sniffles. But the reality is there are tons of young, robust, healthy people who are dying, and they die quickly. It is getting the young, it is getting the old, it is getting the sickly, and it is getting the healthy. They all are dying. What does that mean? It means it can kill anybody, right? That's the message. That's what God, and God's message in this is, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ while there is time. For while this isn't a sickness unto death for everybody, it is a sickness unto death for a lot. And many are not ready to die and meet their God. And so God says in Matthew 10:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It makes us question, do I really love Christ? Because the Bible says I should love Jesus more than I love my wife, Catherine. I should love the Lord more than I love my sons. I should love the Lord more than I love my grandkids. Why? Because that's the only thing that keeps me going straight. It is the only thing that marks that I belong to Him, that He is the supreme thing in my life. So here's the question in your outline. Is God calling you through this disaster of humanity to repent and take your relationship with God seriously. Is God seeking to wake you up? You see, that's a message of the coronavirus. It is meant to wake people up. And have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Number four, the coronavirus is to us an opportunity to display generosity. And I want you to learn this about us. The truth in your outline, there is a generosity in the gospel. Listen to what Piper said. He said, it is not mere good deeds that gives Christianity its luster. Listen, it is good deeds in spite of danger. Many non-Christians do good deeds, but seldom do non-Christians do them at great cost to themselves with the sole purpose of glorifying God and not themselves. You know, we see on television all the time, and I'm not just debunking that at all, but millionaires giving $1 million here, whatever. You know what would really speak? Is if millionaires gave virtually everything they had and they said, I want to help and I'll start over again because I know how to do it all over again. That they give at personal cost. And that's what the Lord is saying. That's what marks us. Matthew 5:13. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. And it simply means that you have been kind and gracious when you have been maligned. And that's the truth in your outline. The church is light in a dark world when we show generosity in tough times. And that's what we have the opportunity to do. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who are faithfully giving as we've gone through the coronavirus, because you have enabled us. We have been able, we told you several months back, we were able to give $10,000 to the Pregnancy Help Center. You know why we wanted to do that? Because they are helping women who are struggling just to keep everything together when they are the most tempted to take the life of their child. And Pregnancy Help Center is there to give them a hand up and to help them to continue to give life to their unborn child. And by us giving a huge gift, we enable them to keep helping women give life to their child. Would you say that's a good thing?
Amen.
That's a good thing. And that's because of you. You did that. And we are continuing during this national crisis to provide food every month for those that are struggling just to make ends meet. And that's what you're doing. You're enabling us to do that. And we want to continue doing that for as long as God gives us the ability. And number five, and lastly, the coronavirus is God's tool to loosen the roots of settled Christians. All of us are called to be on mission to the Lord. And at every stage of your life, no matter how old you are, how young you are, how old you are, listen, as we get ready to close, you should be asking yourself, God, what do you want? Listen, what do you want me to do for the kingdom at this stage in my life? What do you want me to do? What is your plan for me? Because until God calls us home, you and I are to bear witness for Him in a lost and dying world. I am so grateful for the senior adults that come month after month and help give out food. Get there early in the morning, pack all those things, and they're carrying them out, putting them in the cars for people. Because they believe this is what I can do. There are other things they can do, but this is what I can do. We've got young people. And I talked about this last week. They need to be thinking about, where am I going to live? Where am I going to go to school for higher learning? What university am I going to go to? All those decisions need to go through the sieve and the question of, God, what do you want from me? Lord, where do you want to plant me? I want to get a job, but I want to be placed in a place where I can help the gospel. Is there a place I can go to help a church plant? This is where we need to be thinking. This is what we need to be thinking about. This is what I want our church to think about. This is why God has planted us here. God is sovereign and He is shaking our world. And He is calling people to repentance. That's what this COVID thing is all about. And this is purifying His church. It is waking us up. That's it, its intent. And if it doesn't do that, then it's been wasted on you and me. God says, I am coming back. The Lord is coming. And I want you to be ready. And I want you to be spreading the gospel until I return. So would you stand together? With heads bowed and eyes closed. Today is about being all in. All in to God's plan, understanding what this is about that we're going through, that this is about God reminding us the reality of sin, that sin is costly, that sin brings about death and destruction. And people do not, and I am not implying, and the scripture is not saying, that everybody who has caught that and everybody who has died, it is because it is a judgment of God. That is not the message. The message is people who are lost from the Lord, people who know the Lord and are walking with Him, every group of people have died from this virus. This virus is to get men and women to think about eternity, to think about the consequences of sin, and how it has grieved the heart of God. And it is about waking people up to the need to be ready, because this virus could take any of us out into eternity. That's the message. God says, I want you to be ready to stand before me. And so, Father, as we get ready to leave this morning, we want to thank you, Lord, that in these days there is a message. We want to thank you, Father, that we're not unaware. You've taught us in Scripture what it's about. That from time to time, you allow these kinds of things to wake us up, to cause us to think again about where we are and about the devastating consequences of sin. That your church would purify herself afresh, that we would seek the washing of the Holy Spirit, that we would realign ourselves with the plan that you have for us to be your church in a lost and a dying world. So God, thank you. Father, thank you for waking us, for helping us to see. We pray for our country. We pray for our country to come back to you. We want to see America a nation under God. We yearn for that. We want to see her chasing after you. And you've planted us here to pray and to seek your face and to pray for our nation. And so, Father, we do that. We pray today. And this will be the beginning. This will be how we'll focus our prayers in the days to come. That you will bring us back together as a country. That men and women will yearn to hear the gospel because of the threat of the coronavirus, and that people are going out into eternity. Help us, Lord, to spread the word, to share it with people that you open up the doors to, have a conversation with them, that they will be ready. Are they ready if they were to die in these days? So, Father, may our offering today bring you honor and glory. Know that we love you and we thank you for giving us a place in this world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we bless you and we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed this morning.